Glory to God. Oh, what a name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, the name of Jesus. How precious is his name tonight. He's worthy, church, of our praise. I've been so thankful and rejoicing in the way that the Lord has been moving in our hearts and in the church. I was talking with a friend of mine last night for some time and just talking about how God has been so active and present in our services, and he's moving in our lives, and he's reviving folks. And you hear talk amongst the youth about the way the Lord has been moving, and talk amongst the elders about the way that God has been moving. And I tell you, church, he's reviving his people for a reason. Hallelujah. And my mind is consumed tonight with the words that the Holy Ghost spoke to us in tongues and interpretation Sunday evening, beckoning his people to have their hearts ready. And the words that the Lord spoke to us on Sunday night have been burning upon my heart, that we must be ready for the Lord's return. Hallelujah. And sometimes we can get caught up in preaching messages that are reactionary to the things that are around us at the present moment. But this message has stood the test of time. And that is that Jesus is alive and well, and he's coming soon. And he's coming back for a people who are ready. And tonight, I just want to remind us, and this is not anything new that we have never heard before, but it is the message of the hour. And I believe that we are in the last of the last days, and that the Lord is getting his people ready for a return. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe the Lord's coming soon? If you do, say amen. Hallelujah. We're going to begin reading in the book of Luke chapter number 19, and I want you to remain seated for just a little while. I'm going to read a few verses here. Our main text is going to be in the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3. We'll be reading a few verses just for context in the book of Luke chapter 19, but our main text will be the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3. I want to say it's great to have our guest here with us tonight, Brother Bill Hicks. Glad to have him in service with us. He was here 40 years ago and was friends with the Vaughns, and we just appreciate him being here tonight in service with us. Appreciate all of our home folks that are here. We love having you, and we can't have church without you. So it's good that you're here tonight. And all those who may be listening to us on the podcast or via the web, we just want to say we appreciate you tuning in tonight to the service. And we pray that you would be able to be with us in person in the near future. But we're glad that you're listening tonight. Also, I told him I would give him a special recognition tonight. Gary and Sonia Mabes are listening to the podcast this evening. And so I told him I was going to call him out. Hallelujah. I love you, Gary, and I love you, Sonia, and we're praying for you. Amen. Book of Luke, chapter number 19, begin reading in verse 29, says, "And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. They go, and they get the donkey. They bring him back. The Bible says in verse 36, And as Jesus went, they spread their clothes in the way. Hallelujah. Verse 35 said, They brought him to Jesus. They cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. But Jesus, in verse 36, as he was riding, the people and the disciples spread their clothes in the way that he was riding. And when Jesus was come nigh, verse 37, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, hallelujah, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, then the stones would immediately cry out, Hallelujah. And when Jesus was come near, he beheld the city. The Bible says, and he wept over it. Hallelujah. That stirred my heart as I read that. As he came near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it, saying, If thou hast known, even thou at the least, in this thy day, the things which behold unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. Jesus is riding near Jerusalem, and as he looks across the landscape of that vast city, oh, he was moved in his spirit, and he wept. This is our Lord we're talking about. Isn't he compassionate? Isn't he merciful? Hallelujah. Book of 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read our text here tonight in verse 1. The Bible says, This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. That's what we're doing here tonight. We're reminding ourselves by the word of God the things that he has spoken to us. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, it perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the verse that ought to make every human in the world shout, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This is going to be our main text tonight. We're going to read on in verse 12, though. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Hallelujah. We are looking, we are diligent, and we are found of him without spot and blameless. blameless. Hallelujah. I want to be ready, church. I want to be ready. Jesus is coming soon, and he's coming for a church that is ready, that is watching, that is anxiously striving to make it when he comes. Hallelujah. Amen. Could we just lift up our hands and let's worship him tonight? Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Father, we know that you are about to send your son. And tonight I glorify you and I glorify the son because we have been given a promise of hope. We have been given a promise of eternal life. And Jesus, we rejoice tonight that your word is alive today. It is alive and it is well and it is working in the hearts of men and women. We pray tonight that you would minister. We pray that as your word goes forth, it will not return void, and we worship your name, Jesus, and we lift you up on high. For you said, if you are lifted up, you will draw all men unto you. Father, we glorify you tonight, and we praise your holy name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. My throat is really dry tonight, and I'm going to get a drink real quick before we start. Hallelujah. I want to preach tonight on ready and waiting. Ready and waiting. I find it amazing in the book of Luke, chapter number 19, we hear of the wonderful account of the triumphal entry of Christ. He is in a climate of such political friction, and right at this time, Israel is in a conquered condition. They are bound by Roman law, and they are under the rule and the authority of Rome, and there is a lot of anticipation, Brother David, that this man Jesus, who has been amongst the people and ministering for the past 3.5 years, this man who has performed miracle after miracle, this man who has not only changed the climate of the needs of that time, but he's also moving amongst the political realm, and he's moving in the religious realm, and really he's changing the whole world around him. He's turning the world upside down. This man Jesus, who has come by and he's doing good, and even the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the political figures of that time can find no fault in him, and he is a good man and a just man, so much so that as Christ descends from the Mount of Olives riding towards the city of Jerusalem, the people get so excited and there's so much fervor and energy about this man that they begin to sing Hosanna, glory to God. They're worshiping him. They're praising his name. They are thrilled that Jesus is coming. But I want to call our attention to something here. They were not viewing Christ in the eyes of a man or a woman who saw him as a Messiah. They were not viewing him. Some were. Some knew who he was. We know that Peter said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that Jesus has said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven hath revealed this to you, Peter. And we know that there were some there, Sister Norvell. They had an understanding of this man Jesus. But this vast crowd that is gathered, for the most part, does not have a clear understanding of the role that Jesus Christ was about to play when his time was on this earth. You see, they viewed him as a king, not a heavenly king, not as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that you and I describe him as, but they viewed him as an earthly king. They thought, finally, there is someone who has more power than Rome. There's someone who's going to be able to deliver us from Pontius Pilate. There's someone that's going to be able to deliver us from these wicked oppressors. There's going to be a deliverer. But they had no concept of the deliverance that Christ was going to bring. They thought of him as one who would release them from the shackles and the bondage of an earthly king. And yet they had no idea that as Christ rode from the Mount of Olives and appeared across that city, he was moved with compassion upon them, not because they were in bondage to Rome, but because he saw people that were in bondage to sin, and he knew they had no idea that their hope was there. And as they rode, they worshiped him. And as he rode, they cried out his name. They lifted his name upon high. But it only took 1 week, only a few days, and that very same crowd, they're now crying, "Crucify! Crucify him! Give us Barabbas! We don't want him!" Because they had their eyes upon the earthly king and not the heavenly king. All they could see was that their hopes and their dreams of earthly deliverance was lost. They had no concept. Their eyes were shut towards the truths that Christ was telling them, that deliverance had finally come, that the Messiah himself was now in their midst, and yet they could not see him. All they could see was a failure in a political realm. They crucified him upon a cross, and their sins were passed upon him. Your sins were passed upon him, and my sins were passed upon him. He laid down his life. I want us to notice that when Christ rode into Jerusalem, he was not riding upon a horse. He was not coming in a way that a king would come in terms of war or dominance. He rode upon a donkey. The Bible said in the book of Matthew, and the account in Matthew, that he was meek and he was not and kind, and his meekness showed that he was coming in peace. He was not coming for war. The Bible said that he laid down his life as a shepherd for the sheep. He laid down his life as a lamb going to slaughter. He did not revile, and he did not come back against them as they beat him. Brother Brad, as they ripped his beard from his face, as they mocked him, as they slapped him and spat in his face, he did not revile them or fight back. He came in peace. Sister Judy, he laid down his life for us because he knew there was no other way to bridge the gap between humanity and God the Father. Hallelujah. But he didn't stop there. Glory to God, the story doesn't end there. You see, 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, according to his own words, and he fulfilled the prophecy in the days of old that this building that was destroyed would rise again in 3 days, and by his power he rose from the grave. Not only did he rise from the grave, but he got with him the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and the very thing that had plagued mankind for all of eternity up to this point, the sin that had controlled mankind and the inability for man to approach God had been destroyed. Hallelujah. We now can enter into his presence because the moment that he died, he was the sacrifice. Hallelujah. We now can enter in. You and I have the ability tonight to know his presence, to be in his presence, because Christ laid down his life for us, but he rose again. Hallelujah. And he said, "If I go to prepare a place, I will come again and I will receive you." Hey, hallelujah. He's given us a promise of eternal life. Glory to God. Brother Kevin, his promise of heaven means nothing if he doesn't raise from the dead. But because he did, we have hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. But he arose. He descended into heaven. He descended into heaven. The Bible said he did not leave us comfortless, and he sent us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been active and moving in the lives and the hearts of men and women and boys and girls for these past 2,000 plus years. He is active tonight, moving and ministering, and he's lifting up the name of Christ. But the Bible doesn't stop there with just a story of a man that rose from the dead that is still alive. You see, the Bible said that he will return again. We read in the book of 2 Peter how that there will come a moment. The Bible described it as a thief in the night, in the twinkling of an eye, in an instant, in a moment. Christ is going to return for his people. You see, the first time he came, Sister Rose, he came meek and lowly. He came in peace, knowing that he was bridging the gap for all humanity. But the Bible said in the book of Revelation that the second time he comes, he is coming upon a horse this time. He is going to ride upon a horse. And he is going to come with judgment and with fire and with destruction for sin. He is coming and he will come with judgment. Hallelujah. He is returning, the Bible said. And we are called as his people to be ready for his return. Hallelujah. We know that as Christ comes, the Bible said that he is coming with a sword of vengeance. He is coming with a sword that is alive, and he is going to judge every sin. We know that the Bible says in the book of 2 Thessalonians that there is going to be a trumpet that's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then you and I, which remain under the coming of the Lord, we are going to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. And we are going to ever be with him. But before that happens, we are in right now. And Peter said in his epistle, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And seeing then all these things that shall be dissolved, he asked a question, what manner of person ought you to be? Hallelujah. I asked myself this question, who should I be? He said, what manner of person ought you to be in holy living and godliness? Church, this is not the time to lay down arms. This is not the time to quit. It's not the time to change what we've believed for all of this time. It's not time to give up on our convictions. And it's not time to lay down our hope of heaven. It's time that we get ready, that we get our eyes fastened upon the clouds, that we get our hearts ready to look towards the east. For Jesus is coming, and he's coming for people who are watching and ready. He's coming for you and I tonight. He's coming for a church that is clean. I want to be ready in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. He's coming, and he's not going to announce it. It's just going to be something you're going to have to be ready for. Brother Hurst has spoken many times about how when he was younger, if he was doing something wrong at school, he ran home fast to see if the sink water had turned to blood yet, or if his grandma was on the phone. Is that correct? If you get a hold of your grandma, hey, grandma, that's why you need to be ready. Because some of us are dependent on you being ready. So if we do something bad and we need to call somebody, we know you're still around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young people, how much do you really think about the return of Christ? We would be alarmed if we read the statistics of young folks. And if you ask them, how often do you really think about Christ's return? I would dare to say it's quite less than 10%. Think on it maybe once a month that Jesus is coming back. You see, when we get our eyes focused upon the return of Christ and we get our hearts established upon the doctrine that is going to keep us, Brother Ronnie, all the way till Jesus comes, we will live differently. We will not live in a way that could cause us to not make it. That means we'll eliminate sin from our conversations, young people. We will eliminate sin from the way that we interact with our peers. We will eliminate the way that would cause us to not make it to heaven. Our eyes and our attention and our lifestyle will be focused upon Christ. Hallelujah. His second coming is soon. We heard Sunday evening the word of the Lord go forth, and he admonished us to be ready, for his coming is soon. And yet we know there are still those, maybe even tonight in our midst, that would say, Brother Brian, just as in 2 Peter, we've heard that so many times. I've heard it since my youth. I've heard it for year after year after year that Jesus is coming soon and he's still not here. I'm just going to go ahead and live the way I want to live.
Church, hear me tonight. We must continue in the doctrine and the faith that we know is right. We must take heed to the Word of God. We must cling to the truth of God's Word like never before, standing upon a foundation that is steadfast and sure. We must look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. It's time to stand steadfast. Glory to God. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Who is that righteousness? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Peter said, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. Be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. The Lord is looking tonight. The Lord's looking. He's watching. I'm glad He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. I'm glad He gave me time to get saved. I'm glad He gave me an opportunity to come to Him and know what true joy means. I'm glad that He gave me a hope of eternal life. I'm glad that He loved me enough to give me the hope of salvation. I'm glad that He was long-suffering to usward. But listen, His patience will eventually come to an end. And the Father will say, Son, go get My children. And all at once the trumpet is going to sound. And we are going to meet Him in the air. Church, we don't have time to sit back and wait and do other things. We've got to be watching. We've got to be ready. Hallelujah. The Bible said that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He's Lord. And that means that whether we bow on this side of eternity or whether we bow on the other side of eternity, we will bow to His Lordship. I'll never forget something that Brother Clendenin told Timmy Lorito, and Brother Timmy passed it on to me. Brother Clendenin said, the world will think you're a fool, or Christ will think you're a fool. Which one is important to you? If we live like we want to make it to heaven, then the world will think we're a fool. But if we live in a way that the world thinks is right, Christ will return, and He will think, oh, how foolish you were to have known the truth and to have walked away. That's why my heart is heavy tonight. If there's anyone under the sound of my voice that you have contemplated not serving Christ, or that you would ever think to walk away, remember tonight that Christ is returning. And Peter said He's coming for someone who is blameless. He's coming for a people who are without a spot. And tonight, church, I know we make mistakes as humans. But it is not that we ought to strive to make mistakes as a human and say, well, we'll be all right. We're human. We can make mistakes. Oh, we ought to strive for perfection. We ought to strive to be pure. We ought to hunger that and try to be like Christ. The Bible said that we are to be holy as He is holy. And church, that call is still as strong today as it was when the word was penned. We are to be Christ-like in all manner of our lifestyles. And we are to live in a way that is ready for His return. Hallelujah. If I could have the musicians come tonight. The book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 said, for there shall arise false Christ, and false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Or behold, he's in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And Jesus shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Hallelujah. There's going to be folks from every tribe and every nation and every kindred and every tongue. Our brothers that are right now in Africa under the bondage of Islam, they're going to be in heaven with us. Our sisters that are in China right now under the rule of communism are going to be in heaven with us. The islands that we don't even know exist on earth, they're going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. And verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Verse 33 said, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know it is near, even at the door. Has anybody been looking around at the world we live in today? Are we seeing any similarities? The Bible said, when ye hear of wars and rumors of wars, the Bible said there would be mockers and scoffers and those who are filled with their own lust. Are we not living in those days? We're seeing the signs all around us. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Church, it could be in 5 minutes tonight. The Father knows. Before I end this sermon, we could be in heaven. Would you be ready? This isn't a game. Young people, listen to me tonight. This isn't a game. The way you live online is going to be a determining factor in whether or not you make it to heaven. The way you live in private and in your bedroom is going to be a determining factor if you make it to heaven or not. The way you date is going to be a determining factor in whether or not you make it to heaven. Are you ready? Roadies, are you ready tonight? We can make a list a mile long of folks that have sat upon these pews tonight who I fear are not ready. Youth group, we've got a list a mile long of young people that have been in our youth group that are not ready tonight. Adults, we've got friends your age that are not ready tonight that were members in this church. We've got children tonight that are not ready. Are you ready tonight? That's the question. You see, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible said, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a moment and then vanishes away quickly. Are you ready tonight? Before I got saved, I lived in fear that I would die lost and go to hell. I don't think I'm alone in that. And the guilt of sin was so strong in my life, but I found the more I resisted that sin, or the more that I ignored my conscience, my heart became harder and harder, and that fear of hell and forever torment became less and less. But when I heard the words that night, as the sermon was preached, that Christ had paid the penalty for my sin, I realized it wasn't what I would have to give up that was really important. It was what I was about to gain that would change my world. I've never laid anything down for Christ that it wasn't worth it. I've never had to surrender anything to serve Him that was not worth gaining heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, church, we've gained the things the world has always looked for, but they have missed it just like that crowd did as Christ rode down towards Jerusalem. They missed it. It was so close to them, but they were not even in the same atmosphere in their minds. They never realized the thing they needed the most was what was right in front of them, Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want to ask you again, are you ready? Dad, are you ready to lead your children to heaven? Mom, are you ready to lead your children to heaven? Children, are you serving Christ for yourselves? Or are you here because your parents are here? I want to be ready, church. And here's the best part. We can be ready. We don't have to worry. I don't have to live in fear and doubt of whether or not I have an assurance of salvation. Jesus said, "The he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. And then shall the end come." Hallelujah. Church, if we'll endure, if we'll keep up the pace, if we'll keep steady, we've got a destiny before us. Hallelujah. Stand across the house. I want to ask you right now, wherever you're at, whether you're in this church or whether you're listening to us tonight on podcast, I want you to know that no matter where you're at, Christ is waiting on you if you are not a believer. And he's calling out to you to surrender your life to him. It's not what you're going to have to give up that's important. It's what you're going to gain. Right now, there's millions of individuals around this world that would sell all of their possessions, all of their worldly gain, if they could just have the peace that you have tonight in Christ. There's rock stars, there's athletes, there's political figures that have given their whole world, their whole life's dreams and ambitions in search of true joy or true happiness or true love, and they've never found it. They don't find it in the bottle, they don't find it in the drugs, they don't find it in the relationships, they cannot find it. But if they would just see, the Bible says that if we looked and we reached out, we would see that he is near. For he is not far from any one of us. And tonight, if you need Christ, call out to him. Jesus said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wherever you're at tonight, call out to Jesus and know that he is near. Call out to him tonight. And know the peace of God that passes all understanding. Call out to him tonight and see if your marriage doesn't improve. Call out to him tonight and see if those bondages and the guilt and the shame don't fall away. Call out to him tonight. For he's coming soon. Are you ready? Tonight I want the church to come pray. If you're not ready for Christ to come, if you would say honestly, Brother Brian, if he came tonight, I would not go to heaven, then I want you to come with the church and call out to Jesus and surrender your life to him. If you're listening right now over the podcast, wherever you are, call out to Christ right now and invite him into your life. He'll change you for eternity. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you come tonight, church? Tonight, if you're not saved, I want you to come with the church. Go ahead, church, come. Let's find a place to pray. If you're not a believer, I want you to come. Hallelujah. Wherever you are tonight, whoever you are, he knows you. Oh, Christ loves you tonight. Come as you are. You can't clean yourself up enough. But Christ in 1 minute can change you. Without you doing anything but surrendering your life, He'll change you. Oh, lay yourself down tonight. Lay yourself down before Christ. Allow Him to work in your heart. Lay yourself down tonight and allow Him to minister to your heart. He'll change you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.